Friday, Tiri Manshna, Dalad, Menachemov, Tovshin, Pei Dalad, Rab Shimon Kaplan.
We all know that all the Svarim write that everything happening in the world, whether it's a natural disaster or whether it's an event caused by a human being, everything happening has got a connection to Klal Yisrael, and we're meant to take a message from every event happening in the world. Not so long ago, someone tried to assassinate President Trump, and the bullet, instead of entering his head, went through his ear. Just a thought crossed my mind. President Trump, his slogan at the last election was "Make America Great Again," and he meant that he's going to make America great again through his decisions, his diplomacy, his political decisions. And as we know, he thinks a very lot of himself, very confident and sure of himself. Chazal tell us, based on the Pasuk, Leiv Sarim Melochim Biyad Hashem, although the human being is the only part of creation that has Bechira, but the leaders, the presidents, the dictators, their decisions come directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending us a message. It's definitely not to him, because he didn't get the message, that he's only an Eved Nirtza. He's an Eved of the Rabbeinu Shloilam. He's got no Deah Bechlal in world events. He's a puppet. He's Biyad Hashem. But on a more serious note, what happened was, at that moment, he turned in a different direction. And that saved his life. A small movement saved his life. And that small movement is going to make a difference to the next few years of world events. Because he is seemingly, al pi teva, a big player. So one little movement of a head makes a difference to the entire planet and events the next few years. What are we supposed to take from that? There's a big Rosh Yeshiva called Rebbe Tzadka in Eretz Yisrael, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. When he was a bocher, in the middle of the night, once he had terrible pains, and he realized it was serious, and he went to hospital, and they told him it's very serious. And about an hour later, his life was in the balance, and they managed to stabilize him, and by the morning, he was feeling much better, and things had stabilized. About 9 o'clock that morning, he got a visit from Agon Agod La Tzadik Refraim Koyen, Zeche Tzadik Livrocha. He came to Mevaka Choyla. Rebbe Yehuda Tzadka said to him, "How do you know I was in hospital? How do you know I wasn't well? It happened in the middle of the night, I didn't tell anybody, I should rush to hospital myself. How do you know?" So Refraim Koyen, Zeche Tzadik Livrocha, said, "The Kafachayim came to me in a dream last night and said, 'Wake up and be mispalel and say Tehillim for Abocha Yehuda Tzadka.'" So I immediately got up and I said Tehillim. "After Shachris decided to come and visit you, you're probably in hospital if the Kafachayim came to me and told me that you're very, very ill." Very sweet story, very powerful message in this story. Kafachayim, when the Gedolei Yisrael, on the Goyne Hador, the Kafachayim is in Shomayim. And yet he comes in a dream to a human being and tells this human being, "Say to him for a bocha that's not well." That means the Kafachayim in Shomayim couldn't be poil a Yeshua for this boy like someone who is in the physical world. That's a very powerful message, that a human being in the physical world has power. More power than a big tzaddik in the Olam HaEmes. We can make a difference. We sometimes think, but I'm only an individual. Can I really make such a difference to the world? Well, now in the 9 days, to building Beis HaMikdash. We all know that Chazal in the Gemara in Gittin, Kamsa Ba Kamsa Nechrev Yishalayim. He was an individual, his act caused the Churban. Of course, it wasn't only his act, but his act tipped the balance. His act tipped the balance. And just like his act tipped the balance to bring a Churban, so one act of an individual can tip the balance to bring Binyan Beis HaMikdash. And that is the way we're supposed to look at it. So Trump might have turned his head, and that little turning of his head saved his life and will make an impact on world politics the next few years, because in Teva he's a very big player. But he made a difference in little world politics on this planet. But we can do something small and make an impact on the entire universe. So Cholok B'Yisoid, our turning of our head, our action, than the action of even President Trump. The Pasuk in Dvorim, Ki Yipolem Mincha Dover LaMishpat, Bein Dam LaDam, Bein Din LaDin, Bein Nega LaNega, Divrei Rivois Bish Orecha, Vekam Tova Alisa LaMokh, Mash Yifcha Hashem Lekecha Boi. The Rizal says Pshat in this Pasuk. What is the Pasuk referring to? And he writes, from the Zohar Kodesh, the B'shas the Churban, the Zohar Kodesh in Vayikra, Yud Zayin, Yud Gimel, B'shas the Churban, the Malachim came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's going on here? In the Pasuk it says, that when you shecht an animal, you've got to cover its blood, which is seemingly a sort of respect, having just killed an animal. Said the Malachi Ashos, Bakan, and here by the Churban, Shifru Domen Kamayim, and nobody covered it. What's going on? The Malachi Ashos said, I don't understand. In the passage, Oysev Espanoi, this is Shchat B'Yemechot, you can't kill an animal and its child in the same day. And here, parents and children and grandchildren were all killed in the same day, B'Shas the Churban. The same question we can ask on October the 7th. Parents, children were killed in the same day. There was so much blood, the blood wasn't covered. So, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kum Klum Yesh Shalom Ba'olam. Is there peace in the world? Chol Vein Shalom Ein Klum. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu is answering the Malachi Ashoros, says the Zohar, you've got questions on me that I'm not keeping the Torah. I'm killing men and children the same day. I'm not covering the blood is running like water. The answer is, when there's no shalom, ein klum. So the Arizal, a gewaltige teich in the Pasuk. Ki yipolem im chodova. When you have a pella on Dvar Mishpat, on Akshpochu's judgment, bein dom le dom, why is the blood of an animal supposed to be covered and the blood of human beings wasn't covered? Bein din le din, you can't kill a human being, you can't kill an animal and its child. And here you see me killing parents and children. The answer is Divrei Rivois Bishorecha. If there's machloikas, if there's no shalom, ein klum. Omer HaKadosh klum ya shalom ba'olam, hoy ven shalom ein klum. And the pasuk ever come to Velisa Lamokim Yishiv Hashem Elokecha Boi. As from Taich, the person should go to the Beis HaMedrash, to the Beis HaKnesses, a mokim, which brings shalom. And that is the answer, how to take away when we see terrible Xeris and Klal Yisrael. We start off by saying that a little thing that a person does can make a major impact. I want to tell you maybe a famous piece of Masilta Shon for many years. I don't understand, or I learned it, well, I think you learned it literally, but look in the Svarim and they explain it differently. Shon speaking about that the world is created to serve the human being. Umnom hu oimed b'shikl godl. So I understood it to mean the person stands with a choice. If a person goes after the world, misrachik mi boiroi, miskalkul makalkul oimoi, he damages the world. Imu shoyled ba'at, maybe controls himself and connects with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the whole world gets uplifted through that person. So I understood, Mr. Shomis, who oimet, he stands b'shikul godl. But the Mefarshim explain that's not pshat. This vast universe, I remember when I was a kid, they sent a rocket in 1977. About 11 years later, it passed Pluto, traveling about 50,000 miles an hour. I remember hearing that it's going to take 30,000 years to reach the nearest star, Sirius, but they've lost contact with the rocket because it's too far away. But it takes 30,000 years to reach the nearest star, Sirius, which is 3 light years away. There are stars in the universe which they can see which are 50,000 light years away. We cannot imagine the vastness of the universe. Zot b'sil shishorim, the world stands in a perfect balance. Hinu oimed b'shikul God, the world stands constantly in balance. Shmochu rebalances the world the whole time. When a person does a mitzvah, controls himself from doing an aveira, he's walking down the road, he's challenged, he doesn't look. He pushes the entire world towards the Sat HaToiv. That's why a person, when he overcomes a challenge, he's got tremendous power. Because he's rebalanced the whole world, the Sat HaToiv. And every person can make this massive difference. This vast difference. But let's go back to our moshel we started off with. Trump just turned his head. And that made a big difference to what's going to happen in the world the next few years. Let's take it literally. I heard a story recently. Zayid, who traveled a lot, and he needed to arrive at his meetings in different countries fresh and feeling good. So he traveled to his first class. He could afford it. And normally he boarded the plane first. He's coming on a flight, and he came a bit late. And he's boarding the last. And the second last person is another Hamish Ayid, a Bacha. And the Bacha says to him, I've been watching everybody board. There are no other Yid in the flight. I'm very happy there's another Yid in the flight. You know, in case of emergency or something, it's always good to have another Yid. You know, you can rely on that fella driving down the M1. And he sees someone trying to change the tire with a big couple. So he stops and he pulls over to the side. And after helping him and schmoozing to him, he says, Goy. He says, why are you wearing this big black thing on your head? He says, look, I've been driving for 30 years. Whenever I see someone on the side of the road with a big black couple, people always stop to help him. So I bought myself for £5 this big black thing. And now whenever I break down, I get help straight away. It happened to me once. I was driving back somewhere and I came around the roundabout, saw Previ on the side. Right, so I pulled behind him to help. Stav Zayid, lots of kids inside. Turned out to be an Arab, I still offered to help, and then I'll make a chil Hashem. But the Maisa, you know, like a goy once said to Eid, when you arrive at your destination, you're so lucky. If I would arrive and find I've got no wallet, my wallet got lost, I'm in trouble. What am I going to do? So you've got a problem. You'll find one of your Jews, and they'll sort you out in no time. And this boy says to the firm, so there's another Eid in the flight. Anyway, they get on the flight, and the balabos, the rich man, goes to the right, to the front, to first class. And the bomber goes to the back of the plane, economy class. And now the flight starts showing a film. So the guy next to the Yid, next to the guy in the first class, says to him, why are you putting it on your screen? He says, no, us religious Jews, we don't watch a video or a film on the flight. We don't watch videos. So he says, you got other restrictions as well in your religion? He says, yeah, we've got 630 mitzvahs. He says, tell me the truth. When nobody's watching, you're on your own. Do you really keep these things? He says, yeah, why not? He says, come on. He says, look, I'm a very devout Christian. And when I'm on my own and nobody's watching, you know, I cut corners here and there. You know, come on. He says, I've got friends who are meant to be fasting for a few weeks. And, you know, they tell me to take the food in the toilet. Come on. Do you really keep seriously this religious business? He says, yes, I do. Of course I do. He says, no, I don't believe you. So he said to this guy, let me make a bet with you. Sorry? Yeah, I thought $1,000. Sorry. He says, I want to make a bet with you. He takes his wallet of $1,000, that's where I had it, and he puts it between them, and he also says it was $100. He puts it between them, and he says, look here, I'm making a bet with you. If you win, you give me nothing. If I win, you take the $1,000. He says, look, I want you to walk down to the back of the plane, and you'll notice every person on the plane, so you're watching the screen in front of them, or they're holding a handheld device and watching a film or video, or they're playing some silly game on the screen. There's one more Jew in this flight. You walk to the back of the plane, you'll notice who the Jew is, and you tell me what he's doing. If he's watching the film, you take the money. So the guy says, okay, it's worth the walk. He walks to the back of the plane. As he walks down, everyone's watching and, you know, busy with nobody's conversing with each other. You know what it's like in a plane nowadays. And everyone, he comes to the back. It's a young boy sitting there, a teenager. He's sitting with a big book, he didn't know it was a Gemara. And he's sitting and learning. And he comes back to the front of the plane and says, I can't believe it. I've never seen anything like this in my life. You're right, I believe you. The Jews are different than the Goyim. That's what he says. By me, the story is not the kids Shem to that Goy, the Narish Goy. It's more the kids Shem to the Boinish Leilam. Nobody's watching, you're on your own, and you're still stuck and doing what you're supposed to be doing. Why don't I bring out a Nakuda, which I thought of last week. Nakuda. Shmiras HaNaim is one of the big Nisyonis nowadays. It's so easy to see things, to watch things. The streets are so different than they were years ago. I remember going to to a Shiva here in Meribah Road a few years ago. The family was sitting there, and they came from a place called Prestatyn. They grew up in Prestatyn in Wales. When you go to Wales, you see a sign for Prestatyn. It sounds like a sort of Polish nomen, somewhere before the war. But they grew up in Prestatyn. It's on the beach. So those are sitting Shiva. They said to me that after school, they went on the beach. So I said to them, you went to the beach after school every day with your mother? So he said to me, on the beach in those days, people were dressed better than they're dressed on Leicester Road in hot weather. I don't think it's hot. Anyhow, how are we going to this thing? Yeah. Now, so I want to bring out, now this big nisyonis and shmiras HaNaim for everybody, it doesn't matter what age you are. Rabbi Lapin said, I'm a man of 80, and I'm still struggling and still battling the inyonim of shmiras HaNaim. So I want to bring out an akuda which can help us. I remember reading a story a long time ago, 30 years ago, reading a story how the fellow was walking along in the market and he saw someone squinting and looking up towards the sun, almost with a tremendous expression of surprise on his eyes. So he also tried to see what was going on. And there's two people now looking. After a few minutes, about 20, 30 people, the whole crowd were trying to look, see what's going on. Yeah, suddenly the second person hears a noise behind him and someone says, who wants to buy sunglasses, special price for £4? And we started buying sunglasses. The second guy realized the fella selling the sunglasses was the first guy looking. It's a good way to make money. What's pshat nazar ma'aser? Human beings have a tendency to look what everybody else is looking at. You see, a little accident or an ambulance outside someone's house, you can attract a crowd. Makes no sense. You can drive along the motorway and there's phantom traffic. What's happened? There's an accident on the other side. And everybody's slowing down to watch. Eventually, the traffic comes to a standstill. It comes your turn. And even though you're frustrated to have been delayed for 15 minutes, but you also look because everybody else looks. So you also want to see what's going on the other side. Not that you can help or it makes a difference to you, but that is human tendency. And maybe this battle in Shmiras HaNaim doesn't start when it comes to Dvarim Asurim. Maybe it starts already when it comes to Dvarim Mutarim. If we train ourselves and get used to the idea that I don't have to look, that will help us when we're battling with a real Nisoyin Shmiras HaNaim. That will battle when we're the real Nisoyin Shmiras HaNaim. We got an Eitzah, because this is so much human nature. I remember Amachasna, there was a Yid called Diane Fisher, Odom Godel Moid, Prozovsky said to someone, he was on the Gedoyle Toyer in Grodno. He was on Amachasna, and I was speaking to him, and punkt. Moshe Reichman was building Canary Wharf in London. He's a cousin of my Shviga, so he also came to the Chasna. So I was speaking to Diane Fisher, and then someone said, oh, that's Moshe Reichman. So it's interesting to see Moshe Reichman, a very famous personality, a Grace of Balstocker, one of the richest people in the world. And everybody sort of turned to look, and I also turned to look. So Diane Fisher said to me, without looking, he says, do meister gets home for them maybe from here? That's what he said to me. If you're going to get from me more than you get from me, what are you looking for? Everybody else is looking, look. He gave me that shafa zog. That's human nature. When we control that, we're going to have much more koyach to be able to control our shmiras HaNaim. The Menachas Aluza, the Heilige Munkatsha, so many peladig amaises about him during the war, before the war, and after the war. And he went to the Sabah Kadisha. And everybody was crowding around to hear what they're talking about. At one point, he said they wanted to ask the Sabah Kadisha something private. Everybody go out of the room. Refundary. So everybody went out of the room. Klal Yisrael could darken by Kodesh, and the Maaseh in Grosnes, and Baruch Be'er, and many other stories. Everybody put the ear to the door to hear what is he asking in private. So Mechazluz asked the Saba Kadisha, where's Mashiach? Why is he not here? Why hasn't he come yet? So Saba Kadisha said, it's probably 60, 70 years ago, Mashiach's ready by the doorway, he's by the door. But there were obstacles in the way. It's not letting him in. So the Munkacha, this great tzaddik, started crying. He started crying. And he said, do you think I'm maybe one of the obstacles for Mashiach to come? Pachad bin Chzloza, this great Anova, he was worried maybe he's one of the obstacles. Oh, but the Saba Kadisha was saying that there's obstacles. We spoke already at one point, the Divrish Bisharecha, and some Vuyim Psukim in Yeshaya, that the Shmiras Enayim is also going to enable us to see Mashiach, to see the Binyan Beis Hamikdash, to see the Ginah Ashkenaz, the Psukim in Yeshaya, Perek Lamed Gimel. It's a Gevaldik Psukim. We seem to say this very, very clearly. Tant, in the Targum Yonis in the last week, etc., I never noticed this before. There's a Pasuk, they brought the jewelry from the Midyanim to Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Pasuk goes to describe the nose rings, the earrings, the bracelets, and all different, the one's got a list of 7-8 types of jewelry. And it says, L'chaper al nafshi seinu, it should be a kapara for our nefesh. What does it mean? Why is it a kapara? They bought the jewelry, why is it a kapara for Klal Yisrael? So Gevaldik Targum Yonison, it's worth looking at it inside. It's Pasuk Nun, a long Targum. And he writes, Barichas Godel, which seems to be unnecessarily, they took the bracelets from the arms, the rings from their fingers, the necklace from their neck, the earrings from the neon, Gans Barichas. And Zog the Targum Yonison, that they never looked when they took it. And the schus of not looking means they didn't take it from a closet, from a drawer, from a safe. They took it off. These noshim took it off them. So the Targum Yonison, v'do yad kelon, this will be a schus for us, le yom din rabo, for our yom din agodl, le kapora al nafshon kadom Hashem. He's teaching the pasuk how they get a kapora through these items of jewelry. The kapora was because they didn't look. And that's a gewaltig system. That's mechapa nafshasem. The Rachaim HaKadosh, they asked the kasha on them on the psukim. And he says, how did they manage to do this? Peletiko Rachaim HaKadosh, he brings from Chazal, it's a Medrash Yerashim. When they came up to the Noshim, before they approached them, they threw refresh vetit. They threw up a cholent to them, a concoction. And if they couldn't see who they were, and then they took the jewelry off. We can't do that. Chas v'sholom, can't. Like Chil Hashem. He says, but Esther, she called Achashverosh a dog. Smavu and Chazal, there was a taina on her that she called Achashverosh a dog. She still lived in his house. She shouldn't have referred to him as a dog. And then she changed it and referred to him as a lion. But why did she call him a dog in the first place? What was her cheshbon calling him a dog? She knew here she might have to do a big aveira. She didn't have any pleasure. So in her mind, she looked at him as, she tried to internalize, Achilles a dog. And therefore not have any cheshek to do any aveira. That's why she thought other things in Surah, that's why she thought him as a dog. So we can't throw the refresh for tit, but if we can look at things we're not supposed to look at and degrade them in our minds as not being important and being detrimental to our ruchnius, as being bad for us, and in our brain pulling it apart, that's going to enable us to be able to be mekayim what Akshpoch wants for us in the union of Shmiras Enayim. To mentally and psychologically stop us looking. So Peledig Amaisa, there's a big optometrist in New York, who over his lifetime treated over 10,000 patients. 10,000, and yet amongst his patients he had two Gedolei Yisrael, Zushkarov and Ramotcha Schwab, Zuchorin Rocha. And he said that in a person's eye, I'm sure you will be to have an eye test, and you look into the eye, in a person's eye, you can see his age. That means if you were walking to an optician, he wouldn't look at you, he'd just look at your eye, he'd know almost exactly how old you are. Just like other parts of the body age. The eye ages in a certain sequence. And he said, he's had 10,000 patients, and every time he looks in the eye, he knows how old they are. Except there are two old people that came to him, and they had very young eyes. That was the Zutschke Rebbe and Reb Moshe Schwab Zechoyne Levrocha. I think they said over at Reb Moshe Schwab Zavai, this story. These two Gedoyli Yisrael, they had young eyes. The eyes remained young. And that was obviously because of the Gvaldi Geshmir Senayim. He says, Kosa Einov B'Moshe Rabbeinu, about the Kubis, a nest, but Kubis in the Teva, the Shemir Sinai was so great, the Kosa Einov, Moshe Rabbeinu's eyes never dimmed. That could be the Pshat. But that's not the Psukim in Yeshayah, which I mentioned earlier, for Oitzim Einov Merois Baro, Melech B'Yofi Tichzen Anecho. If a person's careful what he looks at, then he'll see the king, the Rabbeinu, in all his glory, he'll be able to witness when the Gilu HaShechina comes. We want to witness the Gilu HaShechina. We want to witness it. We want to witness it. So he started off today with the attempted assassination of Trump. Right? So he went through his ear because Eved Nirtzah, Grace of Kanaka, he's garnished. David saw him, Lachem Be'at Hashem, he's garnished, finished. But on a serious note, we brought out that he just moved his head and that saved his life. It makes a difference to the world, that little movement. And the message is, Shmuel is giving us, little movements make a massive difference. In the physical world, we affect the entire universe. The Kafachayim had to come in a dream to Rabbi Ephraim Cohen to tell him, you daven, he couldn't tuoif in Shemayim, but in this world we could tuoif. The world stands in the balance. Everything we do tips the balance. And take another nimshal from that attempted assassination, in a literal sense, turning our heads away has a gewaldige koyach and a gewaldige schuss. Every challenge is an opportunity. How to train ourselves is not to look what everybody else is looking at. Even when it's Dvarim HaBatorim, that empowers a person to be careful. And this is a very important point for us, to help us remove those obstacles that stand in the doorway for Mashiach to come. The obstacles of the rivers Mesharecha, and the obstacles of the Shmir Sinaim, that's a gewaldige schusim. People do this and they rebalance the entire world. They get such schusim, and that's why a person's got such a kech atfila, especially stating svarim, when a person's oymed in a challenge, he gets a gewaldige kech atfila. We need gewaldige kech atfila. The matzah and soul is very serious, very dangerous. We don't know what's going to be. Everyone's worried what's going to happen. Everyone, every individual can make a tremendous difference. Just like we saw Kamsa by Kamsa, he's the one who singled out, who caused the Khurban, that means he tipped the balance. So every person has to know that every individual person will also tip the balance for the good and bring about a gewaldiger schus for Klal Yisrael and a gewaldiger shur for Klal Yisrael.
I had $1,000 sometimes too. Sometimes. I mean.
So many more sandwiches than I do.
Om Yishmei Ramah, Om Yisroel. Richo. Amen.